Meeting of Monday, January 29th, 2024, and ask staff to please call the roll.
Council President Curry.
Here.
Alder Revere.
Here.
Alder Vitiver.
Here.
Alder Madison.
Here.
Alder Evers.
Here.
Alder Rummel.
Present.
Mayor, you have quorum.
Thank you. All right. First item is general public comment. We have none, so I'll move on to disclosures and recusals. Are there any disclosures or recusals? President Curry.
Thank you, Mayor. I need to recuse myself from agenda item 11, legislative file 81612, as an employee of YWCA Madison.
Staff will note that, please. Are there any other disclosures or recusals on today's agenda? Seeing none, we'll move on then to the consent agenda. Are there any items that members would like to have removed from the consent agenda? Alder Rummel.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to remove number 9, the Youth Homelessness Demonstration Project.
Number 9. Thank you, Alder. Are there any other items that members of the body wish to see removed from the consent agenda? President Curry?
Asking a clarifying question, under discussion items, does that mean we're discussing item 13 or it needs to be pulled?
I don't think it requires action by the body, so it's up to you. If you'd like to discuss, you should separate it. Otherwise, that's for your information.
Thank you.
Thank you, President Curry. Are there any other items that members of the body wish to have separated from the consent agenda at this time? If not, then would entertain a motion on all items except item 9.
So moved.
Was there a second?
Second.
It's moved and seconded the consent agenda excluding item 9. Is there any objection to recording unanimous vote in favor? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of those items and the recommendations contained therein. And we will go then to item 9, which is Legislature 81625, authorizing amendments to the Youth Homelessness Demonstration Program. On item 9, let's get a motion, please.
Move to adopt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adopt. Alder Rummel, you had questions?
Yes, thanks, Mayor. I just would like Jim, or maybe if Lynette is also here, one of them who is the expert, to just give us background on this kind of unique program. And it seems like it's been through some ins and outs and where it's at.
We have Lynette Rhodes here with us. Lynette.
Thank you, Alder. Happy to provide an update. So for a little back history, this is a grant that our community applied for in 2021. In the original grant application, the city actually was not a partner. It was through our local homeless services consortium, and Briar Patch was the lead agency. After this was awarded in 2021, Briar Patch led the effort with the what's called the Youth Action Board. The Youth Action Board are youth under the age of 24. So they range from individuals in high school all the way up to 24, providing feedback on how we are really changing the system of homelessness and housing for that age group. So it's really youth-led and kind of driven by their kind of feedback and their strategies. The grant was originally proposed to be for supportive services. So supportive services are outreach services, and they really wanted a drop-in center, a respite area where youth can go to seek services. Very similar to our beacon, our day resource center. The other part of the grant was focused on transitional housing and rapid rehousing. So they ran a RFP process in which at that time, the Road Home Outreach and Urban Triage were selected as subrecipients. Moving into 2022, unfortunately, the lead agency really didn't have the capacity to continue supporting the youth effort. So they approached the city of Madison and asked if they could change and transfer the lead agency responsibilities to the city of Madison. So we accepted, and that is when we became involved and kind of brought those community partners together since they were already selected to move forward. At that time, Urban Triage was awarded funds to kind of operate and start that drop-in center for youth. Outreach was really focused just on kind of those support services. And then the Road Home just had a contract for rapid rehousing. And I should mention, Outreach also had a contract then for that transitional housing and rapid rehousing. As we move forward in 2022, just like anytime you're bringing a collaborative of new providers together, we did have, just kind of working through together the policies, the procedures, the expectations. We originally started to move forward on Urban Triage opening a drop-in center. They do have offices off of Butler and West Wilson. Unfortunately, after that was announced, it was identified that the site is not ADA accessible. And the youth really felt that that was a high priority for them for the drop-in center. So we did not move forward with a YHDP, which is this grant-funded drop-in center at that location due to those accessibility issues. Another big hurdle we had in 2022 was the grant that we submitted to HUD was for single site transitional housing. And again, through lots of conversations with our community partners, we decided that having a single site was not the most appropriate for us to serve this population. So what we thought was going to be a very simple grant amendment, we submitted to HUD to say, we did not want to do single site. We wanted to do scattered sites, which means that they could secure leases at different places. HUD said we could not enroll program participants until we got an approved amendment from them. We actually got that approval the second week of January when we submitted it in September of 2022. So we, in 2022, had a lot of kind of setbacks in enrolling participants due to some of the changes that we were making with those kind of program guidelines. We also, again, bringing those community partners together, decided that some of the roles under Urban Triage would be better fit under Outreach instead. So voluntarily, for instance, Urban Triage has kind of stepped back from being the entity that is going to locate and open a YHDP drop-in center. And those responsibilities are shifting to Outreach. So that's part of this kind of amendment that we are looking to move some of these funds to Outreach so they can move forward with securing a new location for a youth respite center. Urban Triage, as we move those funds to Outreach, will really then focus on the rapid rehousing and exiting youth that are at risk or are homeless into permanent housing locations instead. There is probably going to be another resolution then coming in upcoming months as well. Because as we kind of stalled on some of the programs in 2022, that means we had unspent funds. And we had unspent funds because the Road Home had staff capacity issues that they ended up deciding that they were going to remove themselves from this collaboration. Since we have unspent funds, we are going out for another request for proposals, especially on the rapid rehousing, to find new community partners that will want to take on that initiative in partnership with Urban Triage as well. So we will be selecting new partners for the housing piece. And be going through our homeless services consortium to select them with the youth and bringing another proposal for those funds once those partners are selected. So that's where we're at right now. Again, a lot of kind of just stalls in 2022 of initiating the program. But as we move forward, or I should say 2023, don't know what year it is anymore. In 2023, lots of stalls in the program. But we're hopeful in 2024 that we have more action behind some of the decisions that have been made to move forward with these.
Thank you, Lynette. So does this youth action board still operational, and how's that going, and how do people get involved in that, or young people?
Yep. So the youth action board is still going. They actually are recreating the youth committee under the homeless services consortium as well to get a more kind of feedback in the work that they are doing. So the youth action board are 8 members. They are paid out of this grant. They are employees. Right now our fiscal agent for their employment is Center for Community Stewardship. There is information on the website when they have openings, because they are paid. We keep the Youth Action Board at a limit of 8 individuals, but individuals that are interested, we can get them information, not only on connecting with the Youth Action Board, but through the Homeless Services Consortium. Again, they're restarting the committee to end youth homelessness. So that's another place that individuals can get connected.
Thank you so much, Lynette, because just as I got elected, there was a little bit of a thing with the respite center in that location that wasn't ADA accessible. So it's great to hear that there will eventually be such a place and more housing for young people. Thank you.
Thank you, Alder. Additional questions, Alder Vidiver?
Yeah, Lynette, could you tell us just a little bit about how outcomes are tracked and how fiscal reporting happens with these partners?
Sure. So partners that work in our homeless services consortium have to put their program outcomes into what we call the Homeless Management Information System. It's called HMIS. So that's the data tracking that we have across all programs. So they will be putting their information in of number of individuals served and the outcomes, how they exit the program. Did they secure permanent housing and so forth? And, you know, what other services, like mainstream services, were they connected to? Those are kind of the main outcomes of, you know, how successful that program is. For these youth programs, the Youth Action Board came up with some additional benchmarks in not just kind of outcomes of number of people served and, you know, where they're going after ending the program, but surveys of the youth as well. So the Youth Action Board are interviewing youth, or created a survey, I should say, when youth enter a program and when they're exiting, on how they felt and kind of, you know, the process. Again, these are, you know, grants that are really focused on services. But the bigger picture is, how are we looking at our system as a whole for this population? So that will be, you know, we actually, you know, have not served that many youth yet because we had so many stalls in the program. But we hope those surveys will help us in looking at system change through that. Sorry, you asked the second part of that question.
How fiscal reporting is done and how the city ensures that there's fiscal responsibility with these funds.
Yep. So through all of our grants in Community Development Division, we have an online contract tracking system. So subrecipients submit their invoices to us. For the first invoice, we always look at all of the backup documentation as well, so to make sure that they are reporting correctly per HUD guidelines. And then we also do field monitoring as well. So once we have client files more established for these programs, our staff do field visits to look to make sure all of the correct documentation is in files as well. And for this grant, we will also take a youth action board member with us, because again, it's about engaging the youth as we do this.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Vivier?
Thank you, Mayor. Hi, Lynette. Thanks for all your work on this. I want to go back to some of the questions that Alder Rummel and you were engaging in relating to the youth drop-in center, and specifically to go back to the history of the facility, either on South Butler Street or East Wilson Street. So I was engaged in the rollout that Urban Triage had with that. Actually, back in late 2022 is when I first was engaged, and it was very clunky and confusing, and the neighborhood was informed it would be used for transitional housing, not a drop-in center at first. Anyway, all that's behind us. So my question just about that actual location is it your understanding that Urban Triage is still using that space currently, and if so, what's the purpose?
Sure. Yep. Urban Triage had secured leases for that space before we were engaged with them in this project. So we are not funding it through this grant, but they are looking at the building that they are leasing on South Butler that used to be the hostel. Right. They are looking at supporting transitional housing for youth families. So they are looking for families that have a head of household under the age of 24 to operate. Again, the city is not funding that. They're doing that with private and unrestricted funds. For the West Wilson, they are still using that space as well, but they're using that more as office space. So youth can come in and meet with their staff at that location, but it's not right now set up to be a drop-in center. There was no conversion of putting in again, the Youth Action Board expect, showers, pantry, so forth, to be a drop-in center. Right now, it's just being utilized as their office space.
Great. I really appreciate you explaining all that, because it has been confusing for area stakeholders and so forth, especially with the two properties around the corner from one another and so forth. And even in talking to the landlord, Jeff Mack, it was confusing for me at times. So the that both of those will be long-term uses is your understanding by Urban Triage. I presume that dependent on fundraising and perhaps additional, they need land use approvals perhaps for the transitional housing, I'm guessing, but I don't want to get us too much off the topic, but it's your understanding that it's their intent to use both of those spaces long-term.
I would say it's dependent on their fundraising, but yes.
Yeah. And then back more to the resolution before us, I had a very brief introductory conversation with Steve Starkey a few weeks ago. And as you know, he's really thrilled and excited. And of course, he loves working with you. We talked about being members of your fan club for a bit. But anyway, he was talking about locations and kind of how daunting it is for outreach to realize that they need to secure a really good location for a youth drop-in center under this grant. Are there any parameters in the agreement in the funding as to where that would geographically be located?
They're not parameters in the funding, but I will say the Youth Action Board is very vocal on what they would like to see for the location for that drop-in center. So access to transportation is really important to them as they are looking at those things. No matter what, once they identify a location, they will then have to meet with our planning and zoning as well to make sure that we have all the right, planning and zoning and, approvals and so forth. But the Youth Action Board will tour each of the sites that outreach is planning so that they can also give their approval as a youth voice if they feel that it is a good location for serving youth.
Thank you. That sounds great. And then lastly, in terms of the term of funding, so for example, again, as it relates directly to the Youth Drop-In Center, how many years of funding are anticipated in terms of what we think would be average cost of a lease for the space and so forth and staff.
So right now they're in the budget, they're estimating about $50,000 for the drop-in center. We really need to kind of continue looking at that budget of just kind of once they secure space, what that lease is going to be, those ongoing costs, because we did not spend a lot of funds in 2023 and we are allowed to carry over, we have access to those carryover funds to help us with startup costs, any renovation that needs to happen and so forth. So we do have, some access to additional funds just for that carryover, but ongoing costs, once we kind of identify that site, we're really going to have to sit down and look at that budget because in my opinion right now, it's very small for an ongoing if a lease is, needs to be secured. I will say, though, just a kind of the process right now is the award came in right now is what they call a demonstration grant, which HUD is saying, okay, we're going to give you these two funds. They're brand new. So that means that you are we understand that you're establishing new policies, new programs, a new building. So we are going to give you a lot of flexibility on how to move those funds around for the first couple years. Starting next year, after we're out of the demonstration program, that's when HUD will start becoming a little bit more strict of us sending in budgets and saying, this is what the funds will be going to through our local continuum of care.
Very good. Thanks very much, Lynette. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Madison.
Thanks, Mayor. I just had a question around, it sounds like you're saying that there will be a survey sent to folks like after they come out of that sort of temporary period and maybe into housing. But they've got into housing, is there a plan or discussion about, checking in a year after, for example, just to ensure that folks are still stable?
Yeah, I don't have the youth are still, because we have not enrolled anyone yet. Yep. The youth are still working on kind of what are those mechanisms of how do the kids actually get the survey? Do they actually have focus groups where they come and meet with, the participants in the programs? So they're still kind of working out some of those technical, how they are going to do it. And when it's overall program, like who is then kind of keeping all of that data for the youth? I do think that the youth very much see the benefit, especially not just sending a survey, but continuous engagement and getting feedback from the youth.
Because that would be, at least for that, I think that would be good to hear, were 25 individuals stable for, 1 to 3 years, for example, or did something happen, once they were less engaged at year two? Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Evers?
Thank you, Mayor. Lynette, I'm wondering if you could comment on how this youth drop-in center project and the work on this transitional effort or for young folks who are transitioning out of foster care compares, contrasts, cooperates with the project at 1202 South Park.
So again, overall, this, even though it's, we're kind of talking about just the drop-in center and, rapid-care housing, again, if we look big picture, the point of this goal is looking at system change. Individuals that are connected with 1202 Park Street, which is identifying, a housing development for youth that are exiting on the foster care system, are part of those collaborations and that committee of what systems are working and not working with these youth. As we look at like system change, opportunities like having a housing development that is dedicated for this population are big kind of things that we could look at for system change in the future. So I would say right now, all of the parties that are involved with 1202 Park Street are engaged in the system change conversation.
Are you suggesting then that a long-term solution might be having another development that's more spaces, more units dedicated to this purpose?
Yeah, this population right now, besides our 1202, you know, youth-centered development, Dane County is about to reopen their transitional housing off of Roth Street, again, in connection with urban triage for housing for this population. So I think it's a great opportunity for us to look at just kind of our housing models and how we are developing and what space is available for those youth and continue to look at how we can expand that.
Super. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Figueroa Cole.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Lynette, I just have a couple of process questions. So in this particular legislative item, what is being approved is changed to the language that the youth homeless demonstration program team already have presented to the city?
Yes, there was already an RFP process that selected these partners. And so we've already submitted a resolution that the Common Council selected these partners. What we're doing now is we're updating the actual budget amounts to these partners and shifting the scope a bit of what the partners are going to work on. But they were selected through that RFP process. They did go to the Continuum of Care, the Homeless Services Consortium's board as well, and got board approval to kind of talk about these scope changes.
And the RFP, again, process question, is this something that the city runs or the consortium or the youth group runs?
Yep. So the city did not run this first RFP process because we were not partners. This was when Briarpatch was still the lead. And even moving forward, we will, these funds come in technically through the Continuum of Care. And so the Continuum of Care will, which is our Homeless Services Consortium, will be the lead in collaborating on the RFP. We actually house the Continuum of Care coordinator. Tori Kopp-Mueller is a staff person in my office. So we are very much a part of the RFP, working with the Youth Action Board of developing the RFP and the parameters, the scoring, the selection. We take that those RFP kind of recommendations first to the Homeless Services Consortium Board. Because again, these funds have oversight from that board. Once that board evaluates those recommendations, then we bring those recommendations to this Common Council. So I wouldn't say we are the lead because we really, you know, work with that Continuum of Care. And in this case, the Youth Action Board.
Thank you. That really helped. I was a little bit confused because, like you mentioned, we started in the middle of the process. So I was trying to connect the dots that we didn't really participate in the original discussions. And then lastly, so you mentioned there when responding to TAG, I think, that this is just like a, you know, it's like it's funding to learn more about the youth needs and what is working and what is not working. So once this grant is over, is the expectation, is the grant, does the grant have any language with the expectation that additional funding will be provided, or is this something that, you know, what is the money will be coming to sustain whatever decisions are made from this grant?
Yep. So
in the future.
So the funding for this grant is part of what we call a renewal process through the Continuum of Care.
Okay.
So the funds will go into the annual Continuum of Care renewal directly to HUD.
Okay, perfect. Thank you for clarifying all those questions. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alder. Alder Rummel, additional questions?
Yeah, one more. Thank you, Mayor. This is a good conversation, and I kind of thought about 1202 South Park, but I didn't ask about it, so I was glad that Alder Evers did. And when we talk about system change, and I saw a lot of nodding of heads like, yeah, we want that. Is there any plan on your end and your, like, work plan to report back? Like, what does that mean? What does it look like? How is it different than what we're doing? Because I would be really interested in that. I mean, not right away or anything, but as part of, you know, how we think about this going forward.
Absolutely. We can report back and provide updates, especially as, you know, some of the bigger scope of things change.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alder. Any additional questions? Item 9 has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing no discussion, is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of item 9? Seeing no objection, we'll record a unanimous vote in favor of item 9. That brings us to the end of our agenda. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to adjourn. Is there any objection to recording a unanimous vote in favor of adjournment? Seeing no objection, we are adjourned. Have a good evening, everyone.